Most of us have heard the story, but at the time of the events, governments on both sides denied it ever happened. They said it was just a myth. But there are some events that are too big to cover up. It was December 25th, 1914, 5 months into World War I, when men on both sides of the battle lines stopped shooting at each other. From the German side, you could hear Christmas carols being sung. And they became louder and louder so that on the French and English side, they could be heard. And after a little while, the French and the English began to sing in unison with them. And it was just a little while after singing hymns together that they began to slowly wander out into the no man's land to meet one another. They mingled, they exchanged food with each other, they exchanged souvenirs, and they began to even play soccer for a while. For a brief period of time, they put aside their differences to experience peace. What makes that story so wonderful is because that's what we think about when we think about Christmas. We think about peace. I want you to look with me at Luke's gospel for a moment, Luke chapter 2, and we're going to put it on the screen for you. Because what you see is that peace is really the chief end of Christmas. Christ came to give us peace. We read this, verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Glory to God in the highest. In the highest heaven, in peace on earth. I mean, just let those words sink in for a minute. Peace on earth. When you hear those words, it's like your heart rate just slows down. Your breathing begins to regulate. Your muscles loosen up. And your mind just kind of sighs a sigh of relief. Because that's what we long for, isn't it? Peace. We work so that we can have what we need so that we won't have to worry. We plan for our kids' college or our retirement because if we can have all of our ducks in a row, maybe we can have a little peace and not be worrying about things later in life. And yet in the Christmas story, we're told that the angels proclaimed peace on earth. It's a wonderful proclamation. And yet they were proclaiming something else. They were declaring something else. Because in order to proclaim peace on earth, they also had to declare war. To declare war on sin. Because it's sin that steals away our peace. Listen to the words of the psalmist in Psalm 51, and we can put that up there. "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict, and justified when you judge. Surely I was born sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." You hear what the psalmist is saying? From the moment we were born, sin grew inside of us. Sin is brutal stuff. It's where anger and murder comes from. It's where jealousy and gossip come. It's where lust and adultery comes from. It's where coveting and theft comes from. It's where lying comes from. It's where all of those things that we don't want to engage in, we engage in. That steals our peace away from us. Think about it. Our ability to not sin, our ability to live in peace by declaring, I won't sin. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said to yourself, that's it, from now on, I am not going to swear anymore. From now on, I'm not going to tell any lies, not even the whitest of white lies. And 5 minutes later, you're doing it. You hear it in the Apostle Paul's words in Romans 7:15. For what I want to do, I do not do, but I hate what I do. That struggle. We want to be right, and yet sin steals it away from us. One of my favorite Christmas movies, I'm sure we all have our own, is one you don't usually see played a lot. In fact, I went down to the kitchen and Elizabeth was watching it earlier today. It's a movie called We're No Angels. It's with Humphrey Bogart. And it's about three convicts who escaped from Devil's Island. And they right around the Christmas time. And they hide out with this very naive family who don't realize that they've just escaped. It's a great illustration of just how thick sin can be inside of us. I want you to just, we're going to just play a little clip of that.
What a beautiful turkey. Where'd you get it?
It followed me against my will.
Look at all of this. How did a man like you get here?
It was easy. I had an air factory. We sold bottled air to people whose doctor advised a change of climate. We had three kinds, sea air, mountain air, and all-purpose air just for breathing. We had a very low overhead.
At least you had courage.
It didn't take courage to go to jail, just a certain amount of larceny and a little bad luck.
You did what you wanted.
What I wanted was always against the law.
I mean, speaking for myself, I got out of school, got married, and then nearly 20 years went by. Dull, uneventful years.
10 of those years I spent in prison. You'd be surprised how little happens in prison. They make an effort not to have it too exciting.
If you could do it all over again.
I'd do exactly the same. To me, the only mistake I ever made was getting caught.
Well, after all you've been through, you and the others, it's very nice of you to help us. And Isabel, a girl you've never seen. Why?
Oh, she reminds Julie of his youth, me of the home and family I never had, and Albert. Albert is a swine.
How does sin get a hold of us? To the point that someone could say, if I had to do it all over again, I'd do the same thing. Now, we can look at that and say, well, that's not me, but yeah, it is. Deep down inside, you know. There's not much difference. Oh, maybe you've never gone to jail. Maybe you've never got involved in some Ponzi scheme. But you know you've done things that just aren't right. How did sin get such a hold on us? It happened the minute Adam and Eve were suckered in the garden. When they said yes to Satan to try to declare their independence from God. At that moment, sin attached. And it has dogged us throughout the generations. Sin brings division. It brings division from God. We want to live our lives the way we want to do it. not the way God wants to do it. The truth is, if we could have whatever we wanted without having God, there's that part of us that says, I'll take it. It brings division from God. It brings division within us. It leaves us double-minded, always struggling in our motives to do the right thing, even though the wrong thing is right there. I mean, think about some good act that you've wanted to engage in. I guarantee you, if you break it down, you'll find some sin in that. Going to bring flowers to your wife? She's had a bad day? Yeah, I guarantee there are other motives going on you might not be aware of until later. Going to do something benevolent because you really feel the need to, but all of a sudden as you're doing it, there's this part of you that says, I want people to see me do it. Sin just attacks our motives and our thinking. It distorts what we see. It distorts how we feel. It brings division among individuals, people within our families, people that we work with, people in our neighborhoods, people in our churches. It brings division in nations. Why do people go to war? James says that we war because we want and we don't have. And so we murder, we kill to get what it is that we want. Sin brings division even in nature. The lion and the lamb don't lay down because we polluted the world in sin. Jesus came as God incarnate to deal with our sin, to bring us peace, to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. He came to end the division, to set us free from condemnation, to now put us in a place that we might experience for the first time real love and real peace and assurance that we're right with God. Some of you probably might remember back in 1987, in Texas, there was a toddler by the name of Jessel McClure. She fell into a well 22 feet deep, and it was very, very narrow. And it took over 58 hours to rescue her. And if you're around during those times, you can remember all the TV vans around and the spotlights trying to get the child out of the well. Now, people didn't stand at the well and say, come on, kid, get yourself out of there. You know, you made this mess, get yourself out. Or encourage her, like, come on, just one foot in front of the other, you can climb. They went down to get her because they knew there was nothing she could do for herself. Jesus came to this earth as a babe. Emmanuel, God with us, to declare war on sin that we might have peace. That in believing and receiving him, peace would begin to grow in us. That war that we feel inside of us, it's a good war. It's peace taking a foothold one step at a time. In the midst of the chaos and the confusion around us, deep inside of us, there is a peace that we can turn to that one day will be in full culmination. Peace on earth to whom his favor rests. His favor rests on those who receive him. I was speaking to a gentleman recently, and he was telling me about his family and just how dysfunctional it was and brutal, the way they treated each other, and there was If there wasn't yelling and screaming, there was almost a near violence in the home all the time. And totally unexpectedly, at a later stage of life, his mother became pregnant. And she gave birth to a son. And he said, for whatever reason, it changed the dynamics of our family. For whatever reason, everyone in our family seemed to fall in love with this child. And for the sake of the child, everybody put aside tension as best as they could. It was still there, but they didn't act out. They didn't want to do anything to spoil this one who hadn't been spoiled like the rest by all of their dysfunction. Interesting, a family rescued by a babe. And yet, just a baby, just a human being. The dysfunction was still there. It was just underground. It came out later. But in one sense, when Christ came to this earth, everything changed. A world that had no peace and no hope for peace was now given hope, was now given the ability to sing and to rejoice to a God who promises joy and hope and love and peace. As we celebrate Christmas, that's what we celebrate. That's the end result. God has come down to earth, that what we couldn't do for ourselves, he did for us. That we would be able to begin to experience what we hadn't experienced before, the love and the peace of God. So as you go home tonight and as you open gifts tomorrow, I just want you to think about that. I want you to imagine what your life can look like as you give yourself more over to him. Imagine, as we've talked about, what you have to give to others as you go forth in this new year. Imagine all the good things that God has given you, that you can give to others and bring peace into their lives in his name. I got to finish with a great story I think I can tell. So last year, like I do every year, I said to everyone, it's going to be Christmas Eve. Reach out to your friends. Reach out to your neighbors. Invite them to service that they can hear the gospel. Well, one of you, anyways, heard me, and that was Dan. And he brought Dolores, his neighbor. And now they're engaged. See what happened, you single people who didn't reach out to somebody? Let's join our hearts in prayer.